The Healthy Alabama podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a program that enrolls Alabamians in the health insurance marketplace.
Enroll Alabama is a project of AIDS Alabama. For more information, visit the website AIDSAlabama.org. Welcome to another episode of the Healthy Alabama podcast, sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a project of AIDS Alabama. Right there on the front lines here in the state of Alabama, working to help prevent the spread of HIV and AIDS. A great organization. Proud to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. We also produce this podcast in partnership with WJOU, Oakwood University Radio Praise 90.1 FM, based in Huntsville, here in the city of Huntsville. In the studio with me, I've got two ladies, one who was here for, this is now her third time with us. We probably ought to just set you up a little desk here, Candace, because you apparently you're just going to be a regular, apparently. Candace Dunaway is the executive director of Partnership for a Drug-Free Community, and seated to her left is my dear longtime friend and newspaper colleague, Anne Marie Martin. Anne Marie, good to have you here with us as well.
It's always good to be here with you, David.
You're dealing with a project, a very important project, that I think addresses this emerging industry of e-cigarettes and juuling, I think they call it, yes. and vaping.
It is... It's been called an epidemic by government officials who tend not to speak in hyperbolic terms. But when you have an increase among middle and high school students of about 70% in 1 year, that does get people's attention.
And to what do we attribute that? How has that happened?
Well, Juuls became cool, to state it simply. E-cigarettes have been around since about 2007. But in more recent years, they were kind of large and clunky. And but in about 2015, Juuls came on the market.
And what are those exactly?
Well, it looks like a long USB drive. It's about the size of a long finger. And you put in these little packets of e-juice there. They're easy to hold, easy to conceal, and when they first came out in 2015, they were marketed in a way that made them look like the coolest new electronic device. Some of the original advertising, which is no longer out there, but Stanford Medical School does have it on their website. The advertisements featured young people, probably in their early 20s, very stylized, hip advertisements, showing it as a lifestyle choice. And then the Juul Labs company did a social media campaign with a couple of media influencers, and it really took off on social media. Now, they have stopped that since then, since there has been an outcry over the increased use. But the damage has already been done.
So this was being marketed directly to young adults and teenagers? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they say it was not being marketed to teenagers. But if you look at the advertising, you can see where it would be very appealing to younger people.
Yeah, and I was going to say the tobacco companies have no credibility. I would argue that they know better.
Yes.
They know that when teenagers see young adults doing something, teenagers are going to adopt that or be attracted to that, because most teenagers want to be what? They want to be young adults. They want to be legal.
Yes.
So that they can do things that adults do, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that's why this Youth Tobacco Prevention and Control grant that we have from the Alabama Department of Public Health is so important. It is an education program that we're in talks now with the public schools to do courses in the schools. We're also going to be doing a youth tobacco initiative support group with students in middle and high school, doing other programs out in the community to raise awareness of this. And part of the course curriculum involves going back and looking at those tobacco ads back from the early part of the last century, when cigarettes were even touted as healthy.
My God.
So,
my God. Mm.
We are, this grant aims to change the social norms around tobacco use, address the marketing of these emerging products, promote policies that protect youth from nicotine initiation and exposure to secondhand smoke, and also just to promote tobacco cessation among everyone. Really.
So let me just jump in here just to be clear, and I want to bring Candace in on this as well. So to be clear, Candace, what we're basically saying is that e-cigarettes and juuling, is it juuling? Is that the way you say it? Juuling?
Juuling, yeah. The company is Juul, J-U-U-L, and it became so popular so fast it trended on social media, it became a verb.
Okay.
Kids,
so the use of e-cigarettes or juuling is something that was supposed to be considered a more desirable, more stylish, more desirable habit than smoking a cigarette, right?
You know, when the whole e-cigarette thing trend started several years ago, it was marketed to help people quit smoking. So it was marketed more as a cessation tool. But we haven't seen that many people that actually, when they get started with these, or especially juuling, they're not quitting.
They're just now addicted to a different device.
Right.
It's a different kind of nicotine addiction, and the reason is because nicotine is still part of the process, right?
That's correct. And one problem we've done in some research and see in the studies, most teens, a high percentage of teens when surveyed, can say, "Oh, that's a Juul," when shown a picture of it. Mm-hmm. But when you ask them, "Does this have nicotine in it?" they say no. A high percentage of the teens do not realize that they are getting nicotine, and then they're becoming addicted without even being aware that it was much to get addicted to. So, you know, these are the pods that you put into the Juuls. They are flavored in cool mint, melon. So it's just a lot of teens are seeing it as a flavored mist that you just inhale, and that there's no other side effects related to it.
I've never smoked a day in my life, not cigarettes or joints or pipes or cigars or anything. But I have been around people who've used all of the above, including the juuling or the e-cigarettes. And I've got to say that I've always thought of cigarette smoking as the nastiest habit. But juuling, I've got to say, honestly, it doesn't seem nasty. Mm-hmm. You know, what you just talked about, Candace, and again, you know, I don't like being around, because I understand it's secondhand smoke, and I don't like being around it. But on the occasions when I am, I have to say, it doesn't feel as dangerous to inhale it, because it does have a different kind of aroma. There is no ash to deal with, that dirty, nasty ash that comes from cigarettes and cigars. You don't see people with stained fingers or stained teeth or bluish lips, the discolored lips, you know. So in many ways, it does seem to be, I could understand how people could think that it's a healthier habit to have, but it's not, because of the nicotine.
That's correct. And the pods have quite a bit of nicotine in them. And I think A lot of times the people smoking or juuling get more nicotine than they would in cigarettes.
Now I'm glad you said that, because I was going to ask Anne-Marie if there was a difference in the nicotine quotient that you'd find in a juul and in a cigarette. And based on what Candace just said, the answer is yes, and maybe dramatically so. I don't know.
There's a lot. And I recently spent some time on the Juul Lab website, because recently they had to take some of their more popular flavors out of the stores. You can still buy them online, but you have to affirm that you are 21 years old or older to do that. And they have a big label up at the top that says this product contains nicotine. And it really does contain quite a lot. And while there is, we do know there's nicotine in the products, there are also other chemicals. And a lot of kids don't realize that what comes out in the cloud that's so popular with the vape pens, it's not water vapor. They think it is. But it's an aerosol that contains a variety of chemicals. And they go into your lungs. The aerosol helps that penetrate your lungs very well. Also goes out into the larger world. You have your secondhand smoke. Also, you have third-hand smoke. That aerosol lands on the furniture. It lands everywhere in the area where someone is juuling, expelling that cloud. So it can get to be an issue with somebody else who comes into the room, even after the smoker has gone. You know, you touch your hand to something, you rub your eye, there it is. You know, there have been more calls to the CDC about poison issues, about kids ingesting the liquid.
How is that happening? How are they able to do that?
Well, some of the, now, the juuls come with little pods that you stick on the end. I don't know if you can open those separately from the larger juul device. But some of the e-cigarettes and vape pens have little bottles of the e-juice. And, you know, say if it's a cherry, wild cherry, it has a cherry on there. And
kids are looking at that thinking it's candy.
It's candy.
I keep coming back to the fact that these tobacco companies are just relentless and ruthless.
Yes.
And they have no conscience.
And
they have no conscience.
I know. Just recently, in the news in the last couple of weeks, the Altria Group, one of the largest cigarette makers in the world, heavily invested in Juul. The Juul Labs, I think they started in 2015. Okay, now they have 70% of the market of vape pens.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And that 70% is a figure that you used earlier, that Anne-Marie used earlier, Candace, when she was talking about the growth of the market and the impact on young people. I think you said, Anne-Marie, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said, didn't you say that the usage of juuls and similar products by young people has jumped up 70%? Isn't that what
yes.
you said?
The most recent figures that just came out, you know, in the last couple of months, that prompted the Surgeon General to call this an epidemic.
So, Candace, as the Executive Director of Partnership, when you hear that, what's your reaction? And what do you think we as a public ought to be thinking about? Because, you know, in the last time you were here with us, we talked about, you know, products that, you know, obviously have their roots in some, you know, products that had been illegal at one time. But tobacco use is legal. So we're not talking about, you know, there are no legal ambiguities here. All we're talking about are the health implications, right? And the moral implications, perhaps. But we're not talking about illegality. So what are your thoughts? How do you respond when you hear something like that?
Well, personally, my heart kind of goes down into my stomach. I just feel like maybe somebody kicked me in the gut over this, because for years, you know, the American Cancer Society, the lung, all these organizations have worked so hard, and we were doing so good with our young people that they weren't smoking or using tobacco products near as much. We made great strides, and here just within a matter of 16 months or 24 months, we've just had a huge step backwards, and it makes me kind of ill. What we can do is educate. I think a lot of parents, because these are small and easy to conceal, as Anne Marie said, a lot of parents don't know. I think they're beginning to hear about it now, which I think is good. But I'm just afraid, you know, we've got a whole generation addicted to nicotine again that we had worked so hard not to.
The tobacco companies have erased the progress, or they're in the process of erasing the progress that we've made. And think about how far we've come. I mean, you know, Anne Marie and I used to work at the Huntsville Times many years ago. And I remember when the Huntsville Times decided, of course, you couldn't smoke in the building. But then I remember when they banned smoking on the whole property. So if you were a smoker, and there were still smokers there in the what was that, the early 2000s, I guess, at least when I was still there, they had to go, literally go across the street or across the parking lot to another property, the bowling alley, yes, in order to smoke. You know, so you think about how far we've come. Now we're now back to a situation where smoking is being, because that's really what we're talking about, the smoking of a nicotine product is now once again being made to be stylish, appealing. It's just a revamping of what they had always, and as you said, is a healthy alternative to cigarette smoking. You know, they're just sort of repackaging the same sort of deceptions, yes, and evils and applying it to a new generation.
I remember in my early days in the software world, we would have all day meetings closed up in a conference room together, and people were smoking in the conference room with us, and we've got rid of that. But now, teens in high school are juuling in the room with the other students.
Really? That's happening. That's happening actually in high school.
Teachers, yes, have become more aware of it. But when Juul first became cool, they didn't realize what the kids were doing because they were so easy to hide. Like they could stick it up their sleeve and just kind of reach over, take a little puff, and they didn't know what was happening. But teachers are getting really smart about this.
You know, I'm looking here on my phone. I had to get online here because I remember within the past few months, somebody was sharing something with me that I thought was pretty fascinating, and I wanted to really see if there was some credible source out there that backed this up. So the tobacco companies have forced this addiction down the throats of so many people. And I probably shouldn't have said down the throats. That's a bad pun. I'm not happy about that. I'll just say they forced this on us. They've seduced people into this addiction. And I've often thought, I've heard it said in different settings, you know, well, you know, if, and I'm speaking now, I'm going to just briefly introduce religion to this conversation for a quick second. You know, if God allows something to exist, you know, naturally, there's probably a reason for it. There's probably a purpose for it. And, you know, I'd never thought that there was a purpose, a good purpose for tobacco ever. But somebody was sharing with me a few months ago, and apparently there is some perhaps some historic logic to believing this, that tobacco can be used, now I'm not talking about smoking it or ingesting it, but can be used topically in some form. I mean, there's something you have to do to it. Apparently you make it into a poultice or something. But if you take tobacco and you make it into a poultice, some people believe, apparently, and there's, again, at least anecdotal proof. I don't know about scientific, but at least there's anecdotal evidence to suggest that it can be used, a tobacco poultice can be used to extract from wounds toxins and to help wounds to heal. Anne-Marie, you were shaking your head. Have you heard this as well?
I have heard that, too. I don't have any concrete evidence, but I have heard that said. And I would have to, you know, look into that more, but I have heard that. And another thing about the nicotine, when I was reading about all of this, nicotine is actually the poison that the tobacco plant produces to keep insects from chewing on it.
Ah, okay.
So nicotine is a poison.
Right, it's a toxin, yeah.
I've heard the same thing.
I guess I'm saying all that to say that, you know, if these companies weren't so hell-bent on the evil of marketing these addictive products, these addictive toxins to the populace, they could probably still be in the business of tobacco, you know, assuming that there's validity to what we've been told, you know, about these tobacco poultices. But, you know, they could still be in that business and make a profit without hurting people. You know, and that's really what I was thinking about, you know, and I don't know. Again, because that I don't know how widely known or explored that is. I don't know if any scientific research has been done on it. But again, the anecdotally, this is what we've heard. You and I have both heard it. And it just seems like such a shame that you know, again, as I think about these companies, I do not understand how they are so completely committed to the destruction of other people. It's just mind-boggling to me. And I could go on and on about that all day, so forgive me. I'm sorry.
The tobacco companies certainly have enough money to do research on the alternative uses for tobacco, unlike a lot of other entities that coalitions that try to educate the community have nothing to work with and financially, and then they've got all the money to educate the community about the perceived glories of their products, and they, like I said, would also have enough money to do some research on the medical benefits of tobacco too.
So before we run out of time, I want to ask you both to just talk a little bit about what it is you suggest parents and authority figures in the lives of young people do. What do you suggest that they do to protect them or to try to protect them from juuling and the use of similar products? And also, you know, if they discover that a young person has introduced this into his or her life, what steps should they take to try to help them extract that from their lives?
Well, they can join us at our new youth tobacco initiative, where we are going to be empowering young people with the facts. This whole grant is about education, to let kids know what's really in these e-cigarettes and vape pens. You know, move beyond the hype, beyond the advertising. Find out what's really going on. And parents need to educate themselves and help their kids to be educated. And if we can provide this education and empower kids to become advocates with their peers, you know, that this is not a harmless thing. You know, there's a problem here, and you could spend, you know, the rest of your life dealing with the fallout from this. And again, we want to change the social norms about this. Right now, cigarettes are not are not acceptable, not the way they used
They've
to
lost their luster.
They have in certainly many ways. Lost their luster.
Even though I think we have to caveat what we just said with this, though, I still see a lot of people smoking cigarettes.
I do too.
And I still see, in fact, there's, I know, I don't know about other cities in the state, but I know there's at least one business that I know of in this state that's here in Huntsville where people can go and smoke cigars. It's a cigar bar or something they call it. So, I mean, people, despite all of the education and all of the progress we've made, people are still smoking nicotine products, you know, so.
They are. So, but we want to make sure that young people have all the facts and they really know what they're letting themselves in for. And we want them to help us change the social norm to really stamp out regular cigarettes and these new emerging products, the e-cigarettes and the vape pens.
Candace, what do you think?
Well, one thing I want to bring up we didn't even touch on in this conversation is not only is it a health issue from consuming nicotine and whatever chemicals they may have in them, these devices still explode, the batteries in them. You know, people are getting burned. So there's a health issue on more than just the actual consumption of the nicotine and other chemicals, and I think that's something else that we really need to do a good job in reminding people that your face can get burned, all these other things. But yes, we're so fortunate and happy to have this new grant to educate our community about these. We're really excited.
That's a danger that I didn't even think about. And is that due to the fact that they have to be charged? Is that what it is?
I think it's the batteries. That's my understanding. Mm-hmm. It was the batteries used. And sometimes they have exploded while someone was using it. I read about recently that someone had it just sitting on the floor by their Christmas tree and it exploded.
Wow. One more reason. Yeah, scorched earth. One more reason to not vape or Juul. As the case may be. Anne-Marie Martin, Candace Dunaway, I want to thank you both for joining us for the Healthy Alabama podcast, a very important conversation, one that I hope that parents will be vigilant in having with their children, their young people. It's just so frustrating that we have to keep dealing with the evil machinations of the tobacco companies.
Yes, thank you so much, David.
They're just not going anywhere. But we got to keep standing up to them. We got to keep standing up to them and calling them out for their evil. We just have to keep doing it.
Shining the light of the facts.
That's right. Absolutely right. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you,
David.
The Healthy Alabama podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a project of AIDS Alabama, and is produced in partnership with Oakwood University Radio, WJOU. Our theme music was produced by my man, DJ Bailey. I'm David Person, host and producer. Until next time, be healthy.